Hey, praise God. It's good to be here. Oh, just stay standing a minute. Just stay standing. Come on, every hand lifted in this place. We're here this weekend to get something from God, amen. Let's just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Like Pastor Kevin said at the beginning, let's lift the expectancy. Come on, let's change every atmosphere here today. If you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost, go ahead. If you just receive that right now and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, just begin to worship Him. We've had incredible worship already. But come on, let's worship with our own song. We want to stir things up. We want to stir things up. Kurabasanda bariando, si karamando, sekende, sekia. Come on, we don't want a normal weekend. I don't need a normal weekend. I need God to break out in me and through me this weekend for the benefit of others. Come on, let's stir ourselves up. Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Karabosende kia labasondo vara. Holy Ghost, begin to minister right now. Even right now, begin to pull down things that are restrictions in people's lives. Begin to break out of every box that you've been placed within. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We believe for you right now. Change this atmosphere right now. Take it to another level, my God. Let things begin to roll out like waves in this place right now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Come on, can't you feel that right now? That's the Holy Spirit beginning to minister. You're reaching out to a living God tonight. Kutarabasanda liabaramandose. Kia lamara, sute ke sea lamando, ria ramando, sekea labanda, sanda rabese. Fire right now in your innermost being, in the belly of who you are. Be stirred in the Holy Ghost. Be stirred in the Holy Ghost. Be stirred in the Holy Ghost. Kurabasanda, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. Sikatara masondo, shene masanda. He is for you, amen. Not against you. Father, we welcome your presence. We love you. And we know that we're loved by you. Father, we come hungry today. Lord, you said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Lord, you're a God who satisfies those who make you their pursuit, Lord God. Father, we pursue you. We pursue who you want us to be, God. We give you praise in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. You can grab your chairs. It's a pleasure to be with you this weekend, and we're full of anticipation of what God wants to do over these next couple of days together. It's a joy to be back with Pastor Kevin and Maria, and I know their family have got a busy time on at the moment, and like yourselves, we're standing around them, amen, believing for all that God's promised over them, amen. No weapon fashioned against them will prosper in Jesus' name, amen. And it's a pleasure to be with them. They're dear friends, and we've grown a great friendship, and you know, I can remember when Pastor Kevin first came to my Bible school, a kid who knew nothing. And he sat under my wing, and I raised him up. And it's just with great pride that I look at him today and see the man he's become. That's a load of rubbish. I just made all that up. We built a great friendship, and your pastors come over to England, and they're a blessing to our nation. And I mean that. They come over, and they're a blessing. And we just celebrate the union that we have. He surrounded you. He surrounded you. He surrounded you. You and your family, he surrounded you. Sometimes you say, should I be feeling this good? Should I be feeling this secure? That's God. That bubble wrap, it's all around you. As I was praying today, that came off my books. My book is so anointed, they begged for the bubble wrap to hang up on the walls. They did. I said, you can have it. You can have it. Stop asking me for these things. But when I looked at that bubble wrap, Pastor Kevin, I saw that you and your family are wrapped in a Holy Ghost supernatural bubble wrap. I know it feels like you're bumping around on a truck at the moment with certain things. You are not shaken. You are not broken. you are not distraught. And sometimes you think, man, I'm feeling good. That's because there's a Holy Ghost. I looked at that bubble wrap tonight, and I felt the Lord say to me, he's wrapped you in his own bubble wrap. He's wrapped you. No plan of the enemy is going to prosper against you or your family. Though it feels uncomfortable when it's a bumpy ride, you know you're, I just keep hearing, surrounded by him. Surround him. You and Maria and your family, surrounded by him. Stay in that bubble wrap. I just see him wrapping it around you. Wrapping it around you. Wrapping it around you. Amen. Victory. 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 Whenever I read in the Bible about the centurion and his faith, I think of you. You've got centurion faith. You are a man under authority. You know the authority in his word, and you know the word that's been released over your family. Stand in that word. Stand in that word. Everything is in that word to do what's needed. Just like the centurion, you make your way home knowing that God is busy. His word is active. Amen. You've got centurion faith, Pastor Kevin. You really do. Amen. Breakfast of Champions, just been delivered. I have not even, this hasn't even come out in England yet. It's being released this weekend, right here, right now, in America. And if how many people have read Breakfast of Champions 1? Hey, that's awesome. Breakfast of Champions 2, it's bigger, and it's got weekend workouts written by my wife. So people often said, why is there only Monday to Friday in your devotional? I say, because you can't handle Saturday and Sunday. By Friday, you're just fried, and you're saying, how can one man have so much revelation in his cranium? How can one man walk around the earth with this much revelation knowledge? I don't know. I don't know. But we spare you over the weekend so that, no, we don't. That's the plan God gave me, writing it to Monday to Friday. But this edition, my wife has written 52 weekend workouts. And that's everything from, you've read his David Psalms, now write your own. They're really exciting challenges for you to get into your weekend. And we're super excited about this. It's literally just been delivered. England don't get this released for 2 weeks. So you're a privileged people. Like I said, the bubble wrap, they said, please, we need it. We need it. We must hang that bubble wrap. They touched it. They were falling all over the place in the foyer. They said, we want the bubble wrap. I said, what about the book? I said, no, we don't want the book. We want the bubble wrap. I said, have it. Take it. Hang it on your walls. I didn't think they were going to hang it on their walls. Anybody else in the worship just wanted to start popping a bit? Come on, don't let me know. I was yet. Oh. 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 Grab a copy of this and you will be glad. Get one for your friend. Christmas is coming. I'm pulling out all the stops today. Father's Day. They don't want socks. Let me speak for the male, men. We don't want socks. We want Breakfast of Champions. And I'm not talking Wheaties. I'm talking the real thing. So, all right. I think you guys are like, yeah, all right, moving on. Okay, turn your Bibles anywhere you want. I'm going to turn mine to Matthew, and it'll probably make more sense if you do the same. It's lovely to have my daughter Olivia with me. And if you're a young man looking for a wife, keep looking. Liam Neeson, you seen the films? All right, that's enough said. It's brilliant to have Olivia with me. And she's studying with Miss Karen Wheaton over in Alabama at the Ramp. And she just finished her first year and going back to do her second year in Alabama. So we've sown one of our children into this fine nation. And we know that she's being blessed there and watching what God's doing in her life. I want to talk today about bringing heaven to earth. Not from the sky on you, but through you. As I was traveling up from Chicago today, I just really sensed an impression that this is what I was to share on tonight, and it's some thoughts that have been going through my heart recently, because we love to speak about bringing heaven to earth, but I don't sometimes think we understand what we're saying when we make those statements. We speak often about going to heaven, and it seems that some Christians are more obsessed with going to heaven than being on earth, and You can meet all manner of Christians, and some of them, it's like they're just waiting to die. And I don't get that, because life itself is a gift. Yet we have an assurance of heaven or eternity with God beyond the grave. But we're to enjoy and celebrate this life. I mean, even some of the songs we've sung over the years have made certain suggestions. Like, you know, I've been in churches when they've sung, "We'll fly away, O glory." And they're normally songs sung by people that don't have any intention about changing the world. They just want to go away and be with Jesus. So often when I hear people sing, "We'll fly away, O glory," my response is, open the window and let them out. Let them go. They don't want to be here. They want to be there. Let them go. We're all right. But we've got a job to do here, so maybe we should actually be considering, in our rejoicing and our certainty of a heaven that awaits us through Jesus Christ, how about us bringing heaven here before we one day fly away to be there? Maybe we need to talk more about, okay, one day we will be there, but how about God wanting us to bring there here while we're here? Everybody still with me? Could we actually be in need of a better understanding of the ongoing relationship between these two places, realms, spheres? That there is a relationship right now between heaven and earth. There's a relationship right now, if you accept it or not, believe it or not. There's a relationship right now between these two places, realms, spheres called heaven and earth. God knows it, and we need to. Now, let me read to you something that's encapsulated within the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." This is a bit I want to just underline. On earth, as it is in heaven. My attention's been drawn to that again of late. That in this prayer that we've been taught to pray by the Lord, we're taught that we're to pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done." Not in heaven one day and we'll experience it in heaven one day, but on earth as it is in heaven. And then it continues on, "Give us today our daily bread." And you guys know that off by heart. So there's a lovely translation that says it this way: as above, so below. And I love the simplicity of that. As above, so below. This is what I believe we need to re-understand and mobilize ourselves towards in the 21st century. That it's not about us dying and going to heaven one day. It's about us changing and shaking the world by releasing heaven on the earth through our lives, not through nebulous statements of "fall on us," but rather "flow through us." Lord, let heaven flow through our lives and make an impact on earth. But let us never lose the assurance that one day we'll all be together in heaven with you. I think that sometimes Christians are passionate about getting there, even at the cost of not enjoying the gift of here, when God's actually passionate about us bringing heaven here into our daily lives, into our daily communities, into our apparent mundane, to see the power, righteousness, joy, everything that's heaven here. Wherever here is for you, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're where you are is relative to where you are when you're there. But wherever you are, whenever you're there, God wants you to be releasing something of another place. As above, so below. What does that look like? Okay, we understand this in part, especially when it comes to worship. I love to worship tonight. And in worship, there's this atmosphere created where two worlds collide. That's a very crude or raw way of putting it. But you see two worlds collide. Some people come to church ready to worship. The other 99.5% get involved somewhere when we've started. Come on, we've got to come ready to worship. You think your worship leader's good? You see what happens when you come ready to worship. You know, my fear for the modern church, which breeds itself in an entertainment or performance mentality, is that we come with a performance mindset. And worship doesn't work like that. Worship comes when people come to adore. And hey, I'm going to be saying this until one day when I do go to heaven, not fly away, oh glory, when my time is done here. I'm going to keep on saying this. Come to church ready to worship. Come to church. You watch. Because I watch people come in. The funny thing about being on stage is you get to watch it. And sometimes you see people come in and they're like, all right, go on then. To the worship leader, they're like, go on then. What you got? Make me worship. And we reduce worship leaders to being worship draggers. Now, I know that's no one here. We're talking about a church down the road. It wouldn't be here. But they're not called to be worship draggers. They're called to be worship leaders. They're called to lead you deeper into what God's doing. But I've been in some churches where they're reducing the worship leader to like an aerobics instructor. And if they keep going at that rate that they're going, they're going to dress them in Lycra. They're going to come out with a little mic and go, praise him. Come on now. Praise him. Come on. To the left, to the left, to the left. To the right, to the right. You know you want to. You know you want to. And that is so far removed from worship. Hey, I've seen these churches. And they take three songs to warm up. And by the final song, the people are like, yeah, I need to worship the Lord. What would happen if people came fired up, ready to go? Just saying, it's just some thoughts I'm throwing out. When we have worship, we experience a collision of these two realms, heaven meets earth. For some people, heaven meets earth in song one. For some people, halfway through. And for others, just as they're finishing, they go, oh, don't stop, I was just starting to worship. Imagine if you joined in at the beginning. Just saying. But in worship, there's definitely a collision of these two places, heaven and earth. There's definitely a transpiring, a coming together where one realm invades another as people enter in by faith. Amen? But that shouldn't be our only experience of heaven and earth being in the same place at the same time. In fact, I believe that our daily lives should be that. That we should walk with a consciousness that heaven wants to break out through us. That we should walk with a confidence in our everyday life that heaven, this other realm that Jesus says, let it be down here as it is up there, is wanting to break out through us. And that doesn't just mean with the miracles of Peter and John. Sometimes it's us encouraging someone. Whatever the atmosphere of heaven, that's what God wants on the earth. But he's not going to rain it down with his nebulous fantasy clouds. He's going to bring it through your life as you yield and say, Lord, let my life release heaven where I go. Not in some spooky way. I don't need to go into some weird dance for it to happen. It can be natural. I call it miracle in blue jeans. People never saw me coming, and then I was there. They didn't realize I was releasing heaven until they started experiencing it. This is the type of Christianity we really desperately need to introduce to the world. They've seen the weird. They've seen the fanatical. They're dying to see the genuine. People who walk the earth with a consciousness that they represent another kingdom. Here on earth. Everybody still with me? So we represent, I'm talking about you, I'm not talking about the church leaders. I'm talking about everyone that calls himself a part of a body of Christ. Every person that's born again, spirit-filled. You say, oh, you're one of those spirit-filled Christians, are you? Is there another variety? I actually got asked that a while ago. Oh, you're a Christian, are you? Are you one of those spirit-filled ones? What are you? Because the Bible says those who are born of the Spirit belong to God. Amen? We're all spirit-filled, which means he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord, which means we have access to another realm, to another place. And it's a two-way access. We've mastered in our theology giving things up, but we've got to discover greater how to bring things down. But today, I'm conscious my life represents two realms. I'm present in one, but I represent another. And what I'm learning to do by faith is reach in to that other realm, which Jesus believes in, so should you, and say, yes, Lord, through me, let my life be a portal that allows what's above to be below. Oh, you're in full-time ministry. No. This is the life of a believer. That we believe enough in heaven that we bring it to this planet and we see it change. So we represent a heavenly experience on earth, but we must be motivated to take it to the world. All right, turn your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to read a lot of Bible today. That's not going to offend anyone, is it? I know some churches, you go past more than one sentence, they start going, I'm not sure about this. You'll never negatively overdose on the Word of God. It'll only ever do you good, amen. I want to talk about Jacob, because this is an interesting thought. And we're heading somewhere tonight. We're going to bring this all together, and then we're just going to believe God at the moment for a moment of breakout. Because as I was listening to what the Lord was doing through the worship, I kept hearing that word, breakout, breakthrough, breakout. The consciousness that is closer than a breath away. Oh, if we could make these thoughts more than words. If we could make them our experiences. Then we'd become the world changers that the primitive church were when they were first born. Amen. Okay, let's talk about Jacob. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, I don't know what place, but it was a certain place. I can't answer all of your questions today. I don't know. It was just a certain place. I'm not actually where it was. I'm not sure. But it was certainly a place because it was a certain place. If you want more of this depth, just buy Breakfast of Champions 2. It's absolutely packed with it. He stopped for the night because that's what you do at night. You stop unless you're a through-the-night truck driver, then you carry on, which he wasn't. The questions you get asked. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. That's what happens at night, the sun sets. This is going to take us a long time to get through this message if you don't think for yourselves tonight. Taking one of the stones there, just one, not two, one. Somebody say one. That's got nothing to do with the message. I'm just trying to keep you awake. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. I like a pillow. I mean, my imagination juices go wild with this. Like, you would pick a rock as a pillow. I'm like, what if your head falls off in the middle of the night? Are you caught between a rock and a hard place? I mean, what happens with this? But anyway, he put it under his head and went to sleep. I'd have trouble sleeping myself, but obviously he was used to it. You can get used to anything, you know. And he had a dream. Martin Luther had a dream, but that's got nothing to do with his message either. This is his dream, all right? He had a dream in which he saw a stairway. Nothing to do with Led Zeppelin. I know where some of you are going. Listen, I can't keep clarifying this message for you. You're going to have to trust me somewhere along the journey, okay? He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels, or the ministering spirits of God, were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. I want to skip down to verse 16, and it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. Listen, the Lord was always in that place. He became aware when he unplugged himself from the conditioning of this world and saw things as they actually were. Sometimes God needs to put us to sleep to explain or show us the things that he's wanting us to get. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was suddenly afraid and said, how awesome is this place? When you begin to see what God's doing in a place,
it breaks the normality of a place and makes the place awesome. When you begin to see what God's doing somewhere, suddenly that place that seemed mundane doesn't seem mundane anymore. You see, what God did for Jacob, how can we put this in modern terminology? He unplugged him from the matrix, for those that would get that. He unplugged him so that he could show him what was really happening where he was. Because to Jacob, it was a boring place, any old place, just another place that had a nice rock that he could use for a pillow. Meanwhile, what he couldn't see was that place was actually the bottom of a staircase between one realm and another. And while he was awake, he couldn't see what was happening on that staircase. He couldn't see that ministering spirits of the Lord were going up and down, and at the top of the staircase stood the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. To him, it was just a nice place to go to sleep. He didn't realize it was a supernatural place until God gave him an awakening so that he could see things as they really were. My prayer tonight is that you would see heaven and earth as they really are. And you would see how close they are and how they're joined together through you. Everybody still with me? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway or the gate of heaven. I love that. The night before, it was a boring place, but it was okay to sleep there. Suddenly, when he was awoken, it was an awesome place. And it was the gateway of heaven. And he introduces it, in many ways, as the first church. He said, this isn't any normal rock. This is a gateway between heaven and earth. And in some ways, this is when the first church opened. You say, well, I'm not sure that it's the church. Then why did he later bring the tithe to it? When you read on in the bottom of the chapter, verse 21, it says, so that I'm going to go and return to my father's house. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up, which was his pillar, will be God's house. That's what it says. And all that you give me, I will give to this place a tenth. So when we're reading this chapter, I've got to lay this platform for where I'm heading. But when we read this chapter, we see that there was actually the establishment of a church on a rock that he didn't think was anything really much more significant than a pillow. But because he was carnal, all he could see was a natural rock. But when he slept, God awoken him and allowed him to see what was actually happening in that place. It didn't start happening when he went to sleep. It was happening the whole time. But he joined in when God unplugged him. And his life could never be the same again. So you got this rock, which is comparable to the church. And we're introduced to the principle that maybe the church is something more than an organization. Maybe the church, not in one location where he was sleeping in a rock somewhere in Israel, but the church, wherever it meets, is actually more than just an organization. It's more than a building. No matter what it's made of, it's more than a physical building. The church, you see, is the bottom of a staircase between heaven and earth. And there's an access and a flow of the Holy Ghost between heaven and earth. So that takes care of the importance of the church and the church not just being another building in a community. That's what some vicars and pastors make it, but that's because they're still asleep. But if you've been awoken by God's Spirit, born again, let me say it that way, you understand that the church is not a natural place. It's a supernatural place. And when you come to the house of God, there's the bottom of a staircase experience, that you may be at the bottom, but the Lord is at the top. And there's still miracle ministry going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. My problem is I can't stop there because I don't believe that God's plan was brick and mortar. That would be good. But suddenly we haven't got one place with one boulder that Jacob established. But the church now meets across the world in buildings. And the church is a place where people can access heaven and the miracles and the atmosphere of heaven. But again, my question in my journal, because I'm just preaching from a journal tonight, is what if it wasn't any more about one place, it was many places? And it wasn't about buildings. It was about people. Because that would make heaven more mobile and more accessible. And it would mean that heaven can be represented at any place at any time. This is an interesting thought. What if our lives are now the gate for humanity to experience heaven? What if it's not a rock established by Jacob? What if it's not a building that we associate with the God bit of our life called church? What if Jesus was further on with the plan than we first thought, and his plan wasn't that people would experience heaven in a building alone, but people could experience heaven through other people? Okay, bear with me. Flick your Bibles now over to Matthew. Because when I was thinking about this, I started to think about another time when the Lord spoke about a rock. But this time, it wasn't made of cement or granite. It was made of flesh. And when I started to think about this, I started to get really excited because I could see the new covenant plan of God for releasing a church that could change the world. This is the conversation between Peter and Jesus. When Jesus came to the region, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Some replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah. They were Google responses, weren't they? It's like they tapped into Google, "Who's Jesus?" and just started to recite what everybody else was saying. Still others said Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus nails it and says, "What about you?" He asked, "Who do you say that I am?" At that moment, Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." See, he's awake. He sees things beyond natural understanding. He's been awoken. He sees Jesus for who he really is, not just what others say he is. But what I want you to grab right now is what Jesus says to him in return. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter." Now, you've heard it preached by greater preachers than me, that this name exchange was very significant. Because his previous name meant reed blown by the wind, which doesn't speak of great strength or foundational ability. His name when he encountered Christ was reed blown by the wind. But suddenly, the Lord renames him and says, "You're no longer reed blown by the wind." Listen to me. Bearing in mind what we've laid with Jacob, Jesus says, "You are now the rock. You are now the rock. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Maybe the reason the gates of hell couldn't overcome it was because now his life represented the gates of heaven. And the gates of hell can never prevail against the gates of heaven. What if tonight we've been asleep and not realizing that we're no longer mere mortals. In fact, like Peter, our lives are now gateways or portals to a staircase that God can release miracles through. Anybody with me tonight? There's a lot of what ifs, but this is good to consider. That Jacob knew a rock that represented a structured church in one place at one moment. We saw churches open around the country and around the nation that represented places that you could experience heaven and the contents of heaven. But what if this conversation wasn't just about Peter, but it was actually about us as well? That the church that Jesus has opened on the earth is not buildings or meetings, it's people. And through his church, each and every one of us, a living stone of that church, God wants to release heaven every day. But he can't unless you realize your life is no longer mere. You are supernatural. Your life is a gateway to heaven. Your life is a portal to another place. And through your life, God can do supernatural things. Come on, if we don't think this way, we're going to remain incarcerated to large meetings where it's all about one man that walks funny, speaks funny, or who's dramatic in his procedures. Come on! We've got to give the church back to Jesus and the power back to the people. How do we give the power back to the people? We help them to wake up and see that their life is the bottom of a staircase. And today, there's ministry going up and down. All we need to do is open the gates. This stuff's been changing my heart. I've started to get excited when I'm somewhere and somebody's got a need. I'm beginning to understand Peter and John. All they did was turn up and open the gate because they knew that wherever they were was now an awesome place. Come on, somebody give God praise. You want me to help you with hating to go to work on Monday? See your life as a gateway or a porthole to heaven. Because remember what Jacob said. He thought, I thought this was just a normal place. Now I realize it's an awesome place because God is here. This is a gateway. Hold on. That bit looks boring. It was, but it's not anymore. Because I'm here now, and my life is a portal to another place. My life represents the bottom of a staircase between heaven and earth. And the gate at the top of the stairs is open, and the one at the bottom is open too. Which means the power of God can begin to flow. The power of God. That doesn't mean I have to squeeze your head like a cantaloupe melon and make you pass out under the pressure of my thumb. That the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you, in Christ Jesus. Your life is the bottom of a staircase between heaven and earth. So when the Lord says, as above, so below, he's looking at you. Yet we look up the stairs to him. Maybe if we understood this stuff, we'd understand the moving of the Holy Spirit a little bit better. I actually think we fooled ourselves a little bit. But we come to meetings and the Holy Ghost starts moving. Don't get me wrong. I love a good goosebump like the next fella. I don't mind some carpet time. I love to shake, rattle and roll with the best of them. I am a good receiver. But what if? In that moment when the Holy Spirit's moving, and our lives are shaking. It's actually the Holy Spirit at a closed gate saying, I wish I could come through. I wish I could come through. Oh, Lord, Lord, what are you doing to me? I'm trying to get through you, but the gates are locked. The gates are locked. Oh, Lord, do it again, do it again. No, 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 this isn't the moment. This is me rattling the gates saying, open them, open them, open them. I want to come through. I want to touch someone near you. I want to change your workplace. Stop enjoying the shaking of the gates. Open the gates.
Because you're at the bottom of the staircase. And at the top is the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What if our lives are portals? And we've been walking around like Jacob, unaware of what was actually happening. Just now I saw that place and it looked boring. Everything's changed. Because I'm here now. Work on Monday is awesome when we arrive. That family situation is awesome when we arrive. Who do you think you are? A set of gates. How about you? There's no glory in being a set of gates. But I want to be an open set. Because I don't want the Holy Ghost not to be able to come through me. I don't want it to just be about me. Shake me one more time, Lord. I've got to get to church on Sunday. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I've got to understand that this is the building that the church meets in. This is not the church. You are the church. Every one of you are a living stone, a living brick that makes up what the church is in the 21st century. But every one of you is a gateway, a porthole between heaven and earth. The difference is some people realize it and others don't. Some people stay asleep. My lovers are awake. How do we open the gates? Okay, Andy, I get it. I'm a set of gates. I felt the Holy Ghost shaking my life. I get it. How do I open the gates? What's the key? I know what the key is. Do you want to know what it is? It's not very dramatic. The key that opens the gates, because you can be gates, but you could be closed gates, which means the world is not going to be benefited by heaven because your gates aren't open. How do you open the gates? So that what's coming down the staircase can come through. Can I tell you what the key is? It's really not dramatic. I feel quite embarrassed by its normality. After how I've teed up this message for this moment, I actually think this key, you're going to go, oh, really? But it's the simplicity of the key. It's serving. It's serving. If you want to open the gates so that heaven can come through you, you got to serve. How do you know? Because I know that's the key that Jesus unlocked the gates when he came down from heaven himself to save the world. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down that staircase and he opened the gates on the cross. And the staircase is open to all humanity because he served. When we turn up to serve, we release heaven. You know, we've done some things recently that didn't seem dramatic, but they really were. All of our congregations have been doing these fun days where we turn up. Most of our congregations, bar one, are really in rough areas, our bottom 1% areas, we call them. And there is so much need, one-parent families, people struggling, people wondering, do we put the heat on, do we eat? Just rough. And we really felt God say, come on, leave the building, be the church. And we went into these areas and we turned up with these things called fun days. And I had Christians who were a little bit stubborn and just a bit warped in their head coming to me going, so you're going to get up and preach at these fun days? No, I'm not. No, not at all. Oh, well, we're not going to come. Well, you weren't coming anyway, so it's pointless. Conversation, it really is. You had no intention of coming anyway, so I'm not even going to go there. So what are you going to do? We're going to cook them food and give it to them free. We're going to provide bouncy castles so the kids can throw up after they've bounced. We're going to have no charges so everyone... Because you've got to understand, in these areas, normally when something comes to town, it costs about $10 for 3 minutes bouncing. And these families can't pay that money. They've not got that money. So we started hitting these communities. And I remember somebody came to me and they said, well, we don't like your plan. I said, have you got a better one? They said, no. I said, shut up. Because that's how we talk to people in England. I said, let's do my plan till you get a better. Well, where's the biblical verse for that? Simple. A man's gift makes way for him and brings him before kings. Let me give you from another translation. A man's gift opens doors and gives him opportunities. So
So we started going in, and it did feel like we weren't being the church. We just turned up in these places, put out bouncy castles, assault courses, free food. People got angry because there was nothing to steal. They were like, we're out of here. We thought we could thieve something. There's like nothing. And then they give us more. And we're like, give your kids more sweets. Go on. But they're throwing up. Have another one. Bounce again. We had 7,000 people come through one of our communities. Haven't. Do you know what I noticed? When I was there, I walked around, and this is normally a place where people are fighting, swearing, arguing, getting drunk. It was like heaven. Because a whole bunch of people, about 50 people, turned up to serve. And as they served, the gates opened. As the gates opened, righteousness, peace, joy in the home. Did you squeeze anyone's head like a melon? No, stop asking me that. But we changed the atmosphere. Enough to give people a slice of cake that they liked. And we've had so many people visit the church of their own free will. Because they experienced something different. You are a portal. There's a staircase behind you. It's not just behind celebrity preachers. Every one of us, if we're born again, he who's joined to the Lord is one staircase with the Lord. There's still ministry today going up and down that can heal people, set people free. God wants to bring things through the staircase, through the gate of who you are. And all you've got to do is turn up and make a normal place an awesome place. We are awesome in this place, mighty God. When you turn up, you make a place an awesome place. Why? Because you're the bottom of the staircase and he's the top. But today, he's still at the top of the staircase. And it's not just angels, it's the Holy Ghost going up and down. All we've got to do is turn up with a heart to serve. Haven't got to be a great preacher. Haven't got to be eloquent. Just got to have a revelation to who you're now joined, who you are, and who wants to come through you. Let my kingdom come, my will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We've got to break some of this mystical Pentecostal thinking that we've educated ourselves at key points in worship. God comes in a vapor and descends on us. No, he's in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you're also the bottom of a staircase, which means you can lay hands on the sick. I'm going to take them to the healing advantages. Why? It's the same staircase. The same. Listen, we've got to give the church back to Jesus. And with discipleship, give the power back to the people. We've got to get everything about church off the stage and onto the streets. We've got to mobilize the church to know who they are and walk with authority in who they are. You know, tonight during the offering, Pastor Derek, he gave a beautiful picture of two men that did that. And I'm going to close with this. It says that Peter and John were just walking to a prayer meeting. They're just walking there. They weren't praying. They were going to pray. You say, but surely they were praying in the Holy Ghost under their tongue. No, no. They were talking about, one was saying, hey, I had a cracking falafel last night. That's Israeli food for those that are less cultured or traveled. That's me. If it was here, they'd be saying burger, but it's in his, I can't teach you everything. The demand they put on me, Derek. It's like being a hard drive to a nation. I mean, it's hard. They're walking down the road and they're just talking, oh, I had a cracking falafel last night. What did you have? Wife didn't get anything, so I just had a bit of pita bread. It was sad, really. And they're just walking down the road and suddenly they happened upon a man in need. And the man said to him, give us some money. And like every good evangelist who don't travel with money, they say silver and gold have we none, because evangelists don't carry cash. This is all proven stuff. But they say, hey, not to worry, not to worry, because you don't actually need that. You need something that's going to come down a staircase behind us. They didn't use that terminology, but they knew it in their thinking. Like Jacob, they'd been awoken to who they were. And so they said to the guy, listen, silver and gold have we none. But such as we've got, we'll give to you. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ. The moment they did that, because you see what they were doing, they were serving the man. You've got to see the key going in the lock. Because they could have said, we're too important for this. We'll send one of the minions to talk to you. But you see, Jesus never did that. One thing I love about the story of the centurion, he said, come on, let's go to your house right now. If that's what you need, let's go. I love that about Jesus. The minute the church forgets people, the church has stopped being the church. And these two, they stopped and they said, silver and gold we haven't got, but you don't actually need that. Such as we have, we'll give to you. Because they knew that they were gateways, and they knew that behind them was a staircase, and at the top of the staircase was God. And going up and down the staircase was everything this man needed. And they said, let's serve him. So they said, let's pray for you, because praying for people is serving. And as they prayed, they opened the gates and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. At that moment, if you could have seen like a sleeping Jacob what was happening, the power of God came down the staircase through the gateway of the men into the body of the guy because the gates weren't closed. And suddenly he was invigorated and the power of God came through the staircase. They were just an open gate into the man's life. And suddenly he was supernaturally healed and received everything he needed from another realm called heaven. Yet it was coming through natural people like you and me. He's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same. This was the New Testament church, the book of Acts. I love it. Come on, we've got to break some of this stuff we've taught ourselves. What we see is they come to him and they say, oh, you poor fella, you've got a need. We've got to get some anointing flowing here. We've got to get, come on, there's like zero anointing here right now. Sing, Peter. I don't want to sing. Sing. Okay, let's get Cheryl. Cheryl, come over here. Get yourself a choir. Be with you in a minute, little crippled man. You'll be okay. Just give us some time to build this moment, all right? You've caught us by surprise, little crippled man. You're going to be all right, but just wait with us for a moment. We're going to build this for you. This is for you. All right, Cheryl, bring the choir. And Cheryl's there, and she brings the choir. More people. In the end, there's this huge choir there. Sing, Cheryl. And Cheryl's like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act. She's like, do, 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 do. And they kick off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter, no, not yet. We need some more. Bring it, Cheryl. Bring it. Lift it higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Suddenly, pastor that looks like he's got no feet floats on the stage and says something totally theologically ridiculous like, he's here. Question, where was he? We're warped in our understanding. Where was he? Was he in the foyer waiting for the pitch of hallelujah to be just right so he could come in? Thank you very much. No! No. Miracles in blue jeans. They just turned up and they said, we know who we are. We're old gates. But behind us, there's a staircase. Yeah. And God's at the top and Holy Ghost and minister. And I just say, listen, in the name of Jesus. And there's a minute they prayed for him. God's life came through open gates and gave everything that was needed to the man. Go ye into all the world and open your gates. Go ye into your community, your home, your workplace. We're commissioning you with an old commission tonight. Every service should be a commissioning service. Go into your world. But it's a boring place. No, 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 no. It's an awesome place when you turn up and you know who you are. I can remember praying once. It's a funny prayer. God always takes you to your prayers. Be careful what you pray. I remember praying this. I remember making this big statement preaching one time. Stick me in a room with 10 depressed people and they'll change. Next week, I was in a room with 10 depressed people. careful what you pray. God's got such a cracking sense of humour. You say, well, so have you. Well, thank you. I was made in his image. I've forgotten where I was. Where was I, Derek? Oh, 10 depressed people. So I'm standing there and they're there like, we hate life, we do. We just ate everything. And I thought, this is what I've prayed for. By the time I left that room, this is no exaggeration, I changed the atmosphere. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's influencing them. Key, I know it. And so must you. Just stand up for a moment, just tonight. I'm just going to ask some musicians to come and join me. We're not going to squeeze heads, shove you down to get points, talk afterwards how many fell down and why the others didn't. Don't get me wrong, I like a good shake like the next man. Love a bit of carpet time, but you ain't taking me down if God ain't doing it. But if he is, I don't stand a chance. I'm like, putty, woo, I'm gone. That's a bit feminine, wasn't it? Sorry about that. Ouch, that's better. But what I want to do now, I want us just to pray and I want you to realize who you are. And I want you just to begin to let heaven come through you. I want you to purpose that you're going to be a bondservant, you're going to be a servant for the Lord. That you're going to go and you're going to serve every opportunity you can. In church, out of church, your family, those you like, those you don't. They didn't even know this guy that was crippled. But when they turned up ready to serve, knowing that there was a staircase behind them. Just stay with me. Watch me for a second. Some of you are like, I don't know about this. How can somebody like me release something from heaven on this earth? You asking that question? Ask yourself, do you speak in tongues? Where do you think it comes from? Speaking in tongues. Oh, don't we call that in the manual the heavenly language? Where do you think it comes from? It's a language you've never learned, but comes from a place not here. May I put to you, members of the jury, that it flows down the staircase, through your life and off your lips. If a language can come down the stairs and through your life, why can't miracles? You're making this too simple. God wasn't trying to confuse you. Religion does that. If you can speak in tongues today, you're already releasing something from one place into another. Come on, think about it. We're Pentecostal tongue speakers, right? That's what we are. Karabasundo. I can remember praying in the Holy Ghost once, and I'd forgotten the power of it, and I was away at a men's meeting with our men. Not our men, like the service has ended. Don't go. I mean, our men, as in the men in our church. And during the worship, I just got caught up in everything. And I grabbed the mic at the end. And I just started to sing in the Holy Ghost. Karamasunde, shanamasavaramando. And suddenly we had a gentleman with us who was from Argentina. And he sat down and he literally went white as a sheet. And he came and said, do you know what you're doing? Because I'd lost the power of what we do when we speak in tongues. The reality of what's actually happening. I said, why? He said, do you speak Spanish? I said, I left school before they asked me to leave. I can just about speak English. He said, so you're telling me you've never learned another language? I said, no, I've never learned another language. He said, Pastor Andy, you're speaking fluent Spanish. And I said, what am I saying? And I was expecting him a few random words like broom, frog, mat. And I was going to come up with an incredible prophetic message based on these things. He said, that's the bit that's breaking my heart. He said, over and over again, you're saying the Spirit says worship. The Spirit says come worship him. The Spirit says won't you worship. The Spirit says come worship him. That's not normal. But nor are we. I went straight to my bedroom where I was staying, opened the book of Acts. And I said, my God, I'm sorry for making this so normal. It's not normal. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, heaven comes down the stairs through my lips. Stay with me. What else wants to come down the staircase tonight? For you and for those the other side of you. I know we live in a self-absorbed Christianity. Don't worry, the gates will always be blessed when things are coming through. The gates will never go unblessed when they're allowing God to come through. But so often we don't open the gates because it's me, me, me. Open the gates tonight. Purpose tonight. Just close your eyes with me tonight and see your life as a set of gates. Just bear with me. I'm not going to be long. If we could sing that beautiful song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But I want you to stop thinking about it, about an environment or a mist. I want you to think about Him in you and Him coming through you. And when you say you're welcome here, I want you to talk about your life. I want you to personalize it. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is going to open eyes like Jacob's eyes were opened in that dream. That you will suddenly realize that everywhere you go is awesome. Your life is a big set of gates. And the other side of you is a staircase with God at the top. You're no different to Peter or John. You're a living stone of His church. And just as a new language can come through your life, so can a miracle to heal a sick person. Imagine if a whole bunch of us left here and went and prayed for someone and released heaven on them. Well, that would be wild. No, that's what Jesus wanted us to pray for. As it is on heaven, let it be on earth. Ever so gently, before we sing this, just begin to worship Him right now. I'm not going to whip up any frenzy tonight. This weekend's going to be about reality, 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 reality. Because reality is great enough in itself. We don't need extras. Just begin to worship Him right now. Just begin to see your life as a set of gates that's open. Sometimes a miracle comes out. Sometimes it's an encouragement. You know, sometimes I have to stop and go back and talk to someone because I know God wants me to encourage them. Sometimes I stop and I give things away to people because anything can come down the staircase. God wants to use you to bless others. Just see that staircase behind your life right now. The Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord is one staircase with the Lord. He's at the top and you're at the bottom. Karebesi varamanto keberia savara mandaya karamaso teba karamende severi beriando soboriende. Holy Spirit, begin to flow through your people right now. Holy Spirit, begin to flow through your people right now. Just as the life of a vine flows through the branch and produces fruit, begin to flow, 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 begin to flow. Stop waiting for something to fall on you. Let it bubble up inside of you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This He spoke concerning the Spirit, but was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. The Spirit's been given. Christ is glorified. Let God bubble up out of your belly right now. Open the gates. Let Him come down the stairs. Don't look at me. I can't help you. You need God. You need God. You need God. You need God. Right now, just acknowledge that you are joined to Him and He's flowing through you. Flowing through you. Flowing through you. Oh, He'll mend the gates when He comes through. He'll mend the gates when He flows through. If the gates are broken, He'll mend the broken gates. We worship you. Come on, let's stir ourselves up tonight. There's a staircase behind you tonight. God is at the top. Ministry, the Holy Spirit flows up and down, up and down, up and down. Open the gates and let Him come through. Open the gates and let Him come through. This is an awesome place. Your life is an awesome life because God is here. God is here. God is here and He's flowing tonight. I can feel the gates opening. I can hear the creaking of gates. Miracles are coming through the gates right now. Through the gates. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here. You're so welcome here. We will not treat you like a mist. We treat you like a person coming down the stairs, walking through the gateways of who we are. Oh, silver and gold are we none. We don't need silver and gold. We want the such as I am. Flow, Holy Ghost. Just begin to lead us in that song, brother. Come on, we're going to worship Him tonight at the beginning of His Empower Conference. We're not going to come to draw from a stage. We're going to draw from the throne of God.